Okay, we're going to ask everybody to find their seats so we can get started. If we can get everybody to find a seat, we're going to go ahead and get started. If we could, before we get started, Ben, I'd like you to call the roll.
Representatives Atkins, here. Bernard, here. Chestnut, here. Dorworth, here. Eisenagel, here. Fresen, here. Frisch, here. Holder, here. Huckel, here. Jenny, here. Jones, Kerr, here. Legg, Nair, here. Precourt, Rogers, Roussan, here. Shank, Workman, here. Chair Weatherford.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, a quorum is present.
Great. Thank you, Ben. Members, I apologize for my voice. My 3.5-year-old passed on a cold that I have not been able to shake for 12 days. So I'm still fighting the good fight, but bear with me. I first want to thank the committee for having patience. I think a lot of us were hoping to start to have the beginning of maps produced the last committee week, which is a few weeks ago. The amount of work that goes into producing the maps that we're going to go over today and have been released is tremendous. And I first want to thank our staff just for putting in the long hours that it's taken to do this job. They've worked extremely hard, and I think we have a product here that I'll talk to you about. So Alex, led by Alex Kelly, thank you for your work, and we appreciate you guys getting us prepared for today. I also think that when you talk about the importance of these maps, that taking our time was important. This process, this journey has started all the way up into the beginning of this year when this committee was formed and public testimony across the state, and we are now in the process where we are making maps, and soon we're going to be in the process where votes will be taken. And so we have a long way to go, but I think we've made a lot of progress. I think that what we have today, I believe that we have maps that are different variations of maps, but maps that are legal and maps that are very compliant to what we've been asked to do at the federal and state level. Likewise, we are very open to making these maps better between now and the time that we pass them during session. So let me say at the outset that the maps that you see here today, as they are workshopped this week on Thursday and studied over the next few weeks, I'm very open to making changes, I'm very open to making improvements, and I'm very open to making these maps better. Regardless of whether it's congressional, state house, or senate maps, every member of the house is welcome to propose an amendment if they wish. And every member of the public is welcome to communicate with us about how they think we can improve these maps. Now, the test to passing an amendment is going to be extremely clear. Any amendment that any member of this body would offer, or a member of this committee would offer, has to make the maps more compliant with state and federal redistricting standards. So what I want to make sure everybody understands is we are welcome to amendments. We hope that there will be improvements to this map, but they have to be shown to be improvements to the legal compliance that we've set forth and said that we would follow, and we have followed. So with that said, at approximately noon today, we published 7 options for the congressional map and 5 options for the House map. They are available on the web. Most of you have probably seen them. You can go to floridaredistricting.org or myfloridahouse.gov. Those options are also in your packets that you have before you to view. Your packet is essentially a guide to each one of these options. We've already published this packet on the floridaredistricting.org website for the millions and millions of viewers around the world who are interested in this. That was a joke. You're allowed to laugh. In the guide, you will also find, for each redistricting map, there is an overview page that details some of the broader metrics for these plans, how many counties, how many cities were kept whole, etc. For each map, you will also find a district-by-district summary of the population and the demographic data. For each map, you will also find a regional map. In your meetings later this week, the subcommittees will workshop maps and go into a much greater detail than what we will do today. What I wanted to do today is to cover some basic points, to see if any of our subcommittee chairs have any comments, and then open it up to any questions or answers that a few of the members from the committee may have. However, I'd like to make a few points about these maps. The first is, I think that our subcommittee chairs have given good direction to our staff in making sure that these maps correspond to the law first and foremost, to the public input, and also to the discussions that have occurred so far in our subcommittees. Second, I believe that these options demonstrate a commitment to the basic notion of not doing this process, the redistricting process, the way that it has been done in the past. Third, I think that as you look at these maps over the next few days, you will dive into the details in your subcommittee. And I think that you'll find that a lot of the effort has gone into making sure that these maps meet the standards in the law in a way that can be translated to real people and in plain language. For example, all summer long, we heard from people who wanted their legislators to serve in smaller, more county-based, more city-based districts, and in order that they can focus on a few needs rather than struggling to serve many counties and many cities. I think several of these maps accomplish that goal. Fourth, everyone here and everyone back home has at least 1 month between now and the earliest that the subcommittee possibly could vote on these maps. I expect the subcommittees to target a vote around the first week of session. So you have an entire month to share with these maps with your constituents, to meet with me, the subcommittee chairs, to work with our staff, or to just use the My District Builder to ponder ways to improve maps. I will make myself available to anyone. I will make special trips to Tallahassee or anywhere else to meet with anyone on this committee or anyone in the chamber that wishes to meet and talk about the maps. I want to make that clear. With that said, I'm going to take a couple of moments to visually walk everyone through how you can access these maps from the web, both today and in the future. So Katie Crowfoot, who is with us and is helping us in the office and doing a wonderful job, she's in front of the computer. Katie, if you could, first things first, you'll see at the top of the page buttons that link you to the social media sites. I think everybody sees that, the Facebook icons and Twitter and YouTube and such. And then, if you'd scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see that our mailing address, phone, fax, and email address is all there at the bottom. So all the same ways people have been communicating with us thus far can still communicate with us this way. Scrolling back up to the My District Builder, Katie, which is there on the right, My District Builder is still up and running for any members who want to utilize it, and I think most people on this committee are familiar with that process. If you look down into the public input button, that's where you can see all the written and map submissions by the public, and you can also blog about the options that we release here today. And then last, but probably most pertinent to what we are doing today, is the redistricting bills button. Katie, why don't you click on that button for us real quick? Okay. If you have not seen this page before, it's a link to the myfloridahouse.gov website where all the options will be listed. As these options become PCBs, then formal bills, and possibly amendments, the data and supporting information for all of those will be listed here and will be updated very regularly. Of course, if you feel like you're technically challenged like I do, you're always welcome to reach out to our staff, and many of you I know have already been working on that. With that said, thank you, Katie. I'm going to offer the subcommittee chairs an opportunity to give a brief comment, and if you have anything to share, please do so. Representative Dorworth, do you have anything to share with the subcommittee? No? Okay. Representative Holder, as chair of Congressional Committee, do you have anything to share?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted at a high level to point out a couple of things about congressional maps. You're going to see a few consistencies in all the maps, and then you're going to see some differences. What's consistent generally is South Florida and the Panhandle. From working with our staff and the presentations that we've had in committee, South Florida is probably the most difficult part of the map to draw in terms of the legal issues, and the Panhandle is probably the easiest. So we directed our staff to focus the options on Central Florida, Tampa Bay, North and Northeast Florida. In doing so, we found that there really are several legitimate ways to draw the central and northeastern parts of the state, and so the options essentially look at those regions from the point of view of perhaps different counties and different issues that were raised by the public.
Great. Thank you very much, Representative Holder. Representative Dorworth, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yes, sir. Thank you. We wanted to kind of take a plain language approach to complying with the law here. As we heard throughout all the testimony that we've seen from the many meetings around the state, there was a huge emphasis on keeping counties whole. The current map keeps 21 counties whole, and a couple of these proposals may keep as many as 37 counties whole. Considering that it's physically not possible to keep more than 38 counties whole on the state house map, that's pretty good. Regarding the house maps, you will see that there has been a real focus across the board to do so. So I think that's a positive step for us. Even in those counties that are larger than a single district, these maps stress locating districts entirely within the boundaries of a single county as often as possible. I think that's consistent with what we heard from people around the state, and of course it's consistent with using geographical boundary lines as the law requires. That's it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairman Dorworth. I do want to note that when I announced last week to all of you in an email in regard to the Senate maps, I talked about the fact that the Senate Committee on Reapportionment has opted not to release a proposal on the State House map. Rather, the committee has opted to focus on the options that we have already released today for the House map. After consulting with Chairs Huckel and Nair and Vice Chairman Workman, we opted to do the same. We are beginning our workshopping process with the State Senate map produced by the State Senate as of a few weeks ago. In addition, on the subcommittee, we will workshop a State Senate map submitted by the NAACP in our Thursday meeting. I know there's probably some concern and questions about that issue, and I'd be more than willing to answer any questions that you may have. I just want to tell everyone that what I've told you, which is if you have any questions, you can ask today or reach out to me at any point. Regardless, the expectations are still the same: to produce a legally compliant and appropriate State Senate map that is reflective of public input. The difference is simply that we are agreeing to start by workshopping the produce product by the Senate. Members and committees are still free to use the full usage and the range of the legislative process in workshopping and ultimately considering these maps. And so I just want to stress that there's nothing in my discussions with my counterpart, Senator Gates, is meant in any way to take away from your ability as a member of this chamber and a member of this committee to participate in the making of a Senate map. Lastly, before we move forward to questions, I think it's important to talk about the timeline. As I stated before, Thursday we will do a workshop and all the maps that have been submitted thus far and worked on by staff. The hope is to have a vote in the first week of session. We don't have to have a vote on the first week of session. There's no deadline, but I think that there's been a commitment made by the Speaker and the President and myself and my counterpart in the Senate after touring the state for several months, that the timeline is very important, and that the sooner we can get this done and give certainty to this process, the better off of our supervisors of elections will be, the better off our constituents will be. And so our hope is, by the first week of session, to be in a position to vote to send three maps to the full committee, which would be this committee. At that point, we will take our time to evaluate the three maps that are submitted to us and hopefully pick a map or pick a variation of maps that are that are being considered. So with that, everybody has a month to study this. I hope you take the time to understand it. This is a very serious process. It's a very important process. It's a very inclusive process. And we hope that everybody in this room and in this committee particularly will take full usage of that. So with that, I am now ready to take any questions that any members may have. We'll start off with Representative Roussan. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Some of us who attended the redistricting hearing down in Sarasota, Manatee area, can't remember now where we were, but I politely put some Band-Aids on my forehead because District 55 was getting whooped up on a little bit. One of the things you said, Mr. Chair, is adhering to a basic notion that of not doing what was done before, and as much as possible adhering to the law. I've had an outcry from some people in parts of 55 that say although the number has been changed to 70, nothing else substantially different was done, and they are in quandary about effective representation. And I'm just wondering what, maybe we can have staff answer what was really done differently.
I can answer.
Other than changing the number.
Well, first of all, I would never question the quality of their representation, Representative Roussan. I think they've got great representation in you. but that being said, I think there's going to be a lot of time in the workshops of these committees to talk specifically about, I don't want to get in a process today where we talk about specific districts because that's what workshops are for, but I will address this issue because it speaks to a broader issue, and that is of the districts that are minority-majority districts, particularly districts that are in Section 5 counties. And let me just say this, we have stated from the very beginning of this process, certainly we are all aware of the Voting Rights Act and what comes with that in the Section 2 and Section 5, but we're also very aware of what the Constitution says. And it is our intention on this committee and I think in this chamber to make sure that minority communities are still able to vote for a candidate of their choice and that we do not have retrogression. And so what I will tell you is not just in any specific district, but in a broad sense across the state of Florida, that will be a consistent theme. We think the Constitution is very clear. We feel that the Voting Rights Act is very clear. And whether it's a District 55 or another district in another part of the state, we feel that it's incumbent upon us to make sure that there's not retrogression and that those communities have the ability to vote for a candidate of their choice. And that's why it's reflected in this map. But going forward, as we get into the workshop, there'll be a lot of opportunity to talk about the very specifics of individual districts and the counties that may be represented. Representative Jenny.
Thank you, Chairman. My question it does not deal with specifics. Instead, it is out of the seven congressional maps that we have before us and the five House maps that we have before us, how many of those maps are based on citizen submissions?
Citizen submissions? I mean, are any of them an entirely a submitted map from a citizen? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, either that or how many of the maps had some basis in a citizen submission?
Yeah, that's a good question.
A significant portion thereof.
I can't speak to. I don't think we have any maps that were a carbon copy of any map that was submitted from the citizens. But I think there's two components to drawing every map. The first component, the most important component, is to follow the law. All of us swore to uphold the Constitution, put our hand on the Bible, and said that we would do so, myself included. And so making sure we comply with the standards of federal law and state law are very important. We feel like these maps do that, and the congressional maps I'm speaking of specifically. Secondly, the second part is that we felt like the public input was also extremely important. It is extremely important in drawing these maps. So I would say all of the maps are a reflection of public input, and an effort on our part to make sure that we comply with all the standards that we have to comply with both at the federal level and state level. So maps that were submitted, I am sure a lot of the ideas and a lot of the concepts that you see in our congressional maps were submitted by the public. And if you'd like to sit down and meet with our staff and go through those, I know they'd be more than willing to do so. And as Representative Alex Kelly just told me, he said that a lot of those questions will be addressed Thursday too in the workshop. They will actually show a lot of the public submissions and how they interact with the congressional maps. Any other questions, members? All right. Well, I'll tell everybody one thing. A lot of work has gone into this, and I appreciate the patience of everyone on here. But this is something we do once in a decade. It needs to be done right. It needs to be done legally, and it needs to be done transparently. And I'm here to tell you that we've done that so far, and I believe the House has honored its word in the way that we said we would conduct ourselves through this process. We will continue to do so, and we look forward to each and one of you having a part of it. So thank you very much. With that, Representative Rick Workman moves we rise. That's an inside joke, by the way.